Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A federal judge today denied the Justice Department's request to delay the midnight tonight deadline by which the Trump administration needs to pay nearly $2 billion in foreign aid. It's being appealed. President Trump ordering federal agencies to submit plans for job slashing and other cost cutting. Elon Musk was at today's cabinet meeting. So was ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
Some of those cabinet secretaries worried about national security implications. They worried that they're the ones that should get to decide if someone's job is essential or not at their own agency.
Another ceasefire swap. An Israeli security official says four bodies have been transferred to the Red Cross from Hamas. And Red Cross buses with hundreds of Palestinian prisoners have left an Israeli prison. Gossip Girl actress Michelle Trachtenberg was found dead today in her New York City apartment. Say police sources to ABC News 39 recently had a liver transplant. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin is calling on the United States Department of Agriculture to resume distributing Dairy Business Innovation Initiative's payments. In a letter to Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, Senator Baldwin said funding appropriated for the program in 2023 has not been reimbursed, leaving 88 dairy businesses without a total of $6.5 million that had been promised. She also warned that many of those smaller dairy businesses cannot afford the disruptions to that funding while trying to remain competitive. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and some of her colleagues are demanding answers from the Social Security Administration over how much access Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency has. Senator Baldwin has expressed serious concerns over access to personally identifiable information and an apparent disregard for privacy laws, regulations, and procedures. The group is seeking answers on how much access DOGE has, how they're using that information, and how the agency is protecting residents from having their data used improperly. Bayfield County officials say they've received about $6,200 of federal funding to help support emergency food and shelter programs in the area. The county will distribute the funding to local nonprofit and government organizations. The decisions on who receives the funding will be determined by a local board made up of local government, tribal, nonprofit, and veteran organizations. Applicants must be eligible to receive federal funds, have an accounting system, and have experience in running emergency food and shelter programs. A Spooner man is facing felony charges after being accused of leading law enforcement officers on a high-speed chase in January. According to court documents, 20-year-old Hunter Sutton was charged in Washburn County in relation to the alleged January 1st chase. Law enforcement officers say Sutton reached speeds of up to 100 miles per hour while evading the pursuing officers. Authorities later posted photos of the vehicle on their social media pages, asking community members to help them identify the owner of the vehicle. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin with a win over Washington at the Kohl Center, 88-62. Head coach Greg Gard on the Badgers' fast start.
We were in attack mode from start to finish, and really, I don't think I'll go through the film and look at the possessions, but I don't think we ever really relented.
In Milwaukee, Marquette beat Providence by 30 points, 82-52. NBA, the Bucks' shots came up short. They lose in Houston to the Rockets, 100-97. At the NFL Combine in Indy, the Packers asking for the league to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
I think that the competition committee will do a good job of looking at everything. Just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away.
That's the Eagles' Nick Sirianni with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50, currently 49 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabba.
Let's light it. Let's do it. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with me. And what I like to call a jam-packed show. It is Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin, where we are broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. The K-Man is riding shotgun. How you doing, Conrad?
I'm doing great. So you should see an envelope in front of you.
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
What the hell is this?
So It's letter to an elder day. So I wrote you a letter.
What am I supposed to read this on the air?
Yeah, you can read it.
No dirty words?
No dirty words.
Okay.
It's addressed to Pete Cobbler.
I should explain. It's there was a girl in college. Oh, I wish I could remember her name, but she used to call me. She thought my name was Peach Cobbler. They were saying Peach Wabba fast. A fellow comedian in Chicago in the early 90s, John Rigi, who went on to become a phenomenal writer and was a great stand-up, used to think my name sounded like a dessert, Peach Wabba. But this girl in college, I thought was the funniest, and she said, Peach, she said, what's your name? I said, Peach Wabba. And she goes, dang, I thought it was Peach Cobbler. So Conrad addressed the letter to me as Peach Cobbler. It is National Letter to an Elder Day. I am quite a bit older than you.
You're about 10 years older. That's
but it. Slightly, I'm more immature though, ironically. It says, Conrad writes, Dear Pete, it's National Write a Letter to an Elder Day. I thought I would write you this letter in honor of this day. But who writes letters anymore? So I will stop it here. Sincerely, the lovable producer, Con. Boy, you can't fake emotion like that, Conrad. I'll tell you. It's a nice gesture, and I love how much effort you put into the actual letter. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. All right, so I see. So the bar has been raised on these national days. We'll see how we can. And this letter was right here.
Yep.
Turned around, though, so I thought it was Jim Schmidt, because Jim and I share a chair. So I thought that was like one of his former mayor letters. All right, so that's a good way to start the show.
Yeah.
Pete Cobbler. If this was like the 80s and I was a music DJ, I'd probably go with a name like that. Pete Cobbler. Or just Cobbler. Because it's
Nightlight with Pete Cobbler.
Yeah.
Can't get any better than that.
I don't think so. So that's great. So thank you for that. And we have a good, you know, who do we have tonight, Conrad? You want to tell people who we've got coming on? We've got a great show tonight.
Yes, we do. And I believe you said this, he is on 1923 now, correct?
Yeah, which just dropped, I believe, yesterday, season two, or it might have been Monday, actually. I think it was February 24th, season two of 1923, a Taylor Sheridan show, which, in my opinion, the two prequels, 1923 and 1883, blow Yellowstone out of the water. Just much more interesting, in my opinion. Much less, you know, bad network TV drama-y, if that makes sense. But yes, we have one of the actors from 1923 on, an old friend of mine, Conrad, if you would.
Yeah, Jamie McShane.
Jamie McShane will be back. He was here several months ago. And I'm going to ask Jamie what show he was working on, because remember when he was on the show last time, I think he was joining us from Ireland, and he said
yes,
the project he was working on might be his favorite in his entire career so far. So we have to press him on that a little bit. We'll see if we can get him to talk. And he plays kind of a bad guy on 1923, Marshall Kent. So we'll talk to Jamie about that. And then in hour number two at 7:20, Conrad, who do we have?
Or you're going to talk about Oscar nominations with...
Correct.
The one, the only Rob Thomas from CityCast Madison.
The lovely and talented Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic and a very good friend of ours here at Nightlight. I figured, you know, the Oscars are literally right around the corner. They're this Sunday, and we've been talking to people ad nauseum, and we get just a couple more opportunities to do that before the big event, and then obviously we'll recap them next week with Matt Miller and Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So that'll be fun. But we're gonna suck every last little bit of entertainment out of the Oscars that we can, because mm-hmm. I personally think it's a great year for the Oscars. There are such a wide array of films that have been nominated for Best Picture. I'm really, truly fascinated, and I have no idea who's going to win. So I think that makes it kind of fun. So there's your show tonight, and we have, let's get to the question, because last night you guys were so great. I could barely keep up with all the texts coming in, which was a lot of fun, actually. I don't know that this will be as... I don't know if this will be as exciting as talking about soup, but it's something that bothers me. And Conrad, you're not there yet. As you mentioned, I'm an elder when it comes to you, yeah. And it really sucks. Body maintenance sucks as you get older. It's tedious, and you have to do it. So that's my hint as we are about to ask tonight's question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What aspect of bodily maintenance do you wish you didn't have to do? What aspect of bodily maintenance do you wish you did not have to do? I know for me, I actually kind of have two. One is nose hair.
Okay.
Nose hair is brutal. You know, because you buy these things and you have to sit there for like 5 minutes in each nostril. I don't even have a lot of nose hair, but you got to trim it. You can't go out with anything hanging out of your nose, regardless of what it is, especially a hair. It's just disgusting. Ear hair is a pain in the butt too, but for some reason that doesn't bother me as much. I don't like nose hair. That is my least favorite bodily maintenance activity, and I have to do it about once a week. The other thing I don't like to do is cut my toenails, but you have to.
You do.
And, you know, my approach is fresh out of the shower when they're wet, but if I slack off on anything, it's toenails, because my feet are always covered. Most of the time, even in the summer. Even though I have really attractive feet, I don't like to show my dogs. But I still keep them well-groomed. But every once in a while, if I slack off on anything, it's toenails, because nobody ever sees your feet. But I would have to say nose hair. What about you? Do you even have this issue at all right now?
I don't have nose hair at all, I don't think.
Oh, man.
Might have a little bit, but...
It's coming, buddy.
It's not bad. I mean, if we're not just talking about cutting off hair, one thing that I'd like just to always... is my pits just to smell good all the time. Just not have to wear deodorant, which would, that would be nice. Just, they always just smell nice.
Well, it's interesting because I don't have to do anything to my armpits. Like, there's no real maintenance involved there except putting on deodorant. So I guess that counts.
There's just some inconvenience. Like, maybe in college, I was running late to a class, so I'd start running to class, you know.
Right.
And then I get to class and I'm like, oh, do you I stink? Pits.
Yeah.
And then, so I guess there's something like that. Now it's like, I feel like I always carry deodorant with me. It's so
do you really?
It doesn't really.
Just for
there's
emergency.
Always just one in my car, just okay. In case. But when I was just walking to classes, never really had it with me. So
yeah.
I feel like that would be a good one. Just
all right.
Never have to wear deodorant.
Never have to wear deodorant. It might be different for men and women. I know for guys, manscaping is a pain. I think, you know, we all have to do that from time to time. So I kind of accept that as a given. But for whatever reason, for me, it's nose hair. I don't know what it is. But, and I also don't, I'm kind of lazy about getting a haircut, a basic general haircut too. I'll put that off.
You know, I actually really love getting haircuts.
I don't mind it when I'm there.
I just put it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you're good about getting your hair cut. You're pretty regular.
Well, I go to one that does the whole nine, you know.
You get a shave too?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
They shave your face when you're there?
They shave, cut my hair, they give me that, you know, the washing of the hair.
Yeah.
And they give you a little massage thing too. So it's like,
yeah, I've been to those places. I like that, but I will say I've never had a shave from a barber. Or a beautician or whatever. I've never gotten a shave. I don't think I've ever been offered one. I don't really go to the really expensive salons, obviously, but
they just cut it so fine, you know?
Yeah.
I can't do it like them.
No, that's true. And there's something amazing about when someone else washes your hair. It feels fantastic. So let us know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know what you think, or what your least favorite bodily maintenance duties are. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what kind of response we get here. You can let us know at 855-75-CIVIC or text us on the stream or on the app. There are a lot of ways to get a hold of us, folks, but just get a hold of us and let's have a fun conversation about our bodies. I think it's important. Okay, so it's also... This is in the news, too. The ban the tush push. What do you think about that?
I mean...
And it's the Packers making a big deal about it. They don't like that Philadelphia does it. They think it should be illegal.
This is what I... I don't think they should ban it. I think any team can do it.
Right.
It's not just the Eagles. Why didn't the Packers do it? Why didn't...
I agree.
If it's an unstoppable play, other teams should do it, too.
Correct.
But we saw it with Josh Allen, where... They tried it, and he didn't get it.
Oh, he was kind of a spaz.
Yeah.
It's like, just do what Jalen Hurts does. You know, I remember that playoff game. Josh Allen's like picking his spot, trying to make up his mind. It's like, no, you just go straight forward. And Jalen Hurts apparently can, you know, squat a house.
Yes, he can.
So that helps. And he has a good line. But you're right. You know, I kind of think, like, you should do it. It's like, should we outlaw the bomb because some guys are really fast? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
I think that they're making a big deal out of it. Even though I'm a Packer fan.
Yeah.
Practice during the offseason. Practice trying not
get lower.
Trying to stop it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a good football play. If you want that first down, go for it.
It's innovative. I mean, who would have ever thought that would become a play? No, you just run really hard straight forward. that's kind of football, you know? Here, I saw this. This was interesting. You can let us know what you feel about the tush push too, folks. It's coming from our home team here in Green Bay, the Packers. They're the ones raising the alarm about the tush push. Do you agree with the pack? Is it Gutekunst, I think, that voiced his disapproval of the tush push? Or should every team just try to find a way to combat it? I want to talk about this show too when we come back. It's called Grandpa in My Pocket. Really weird. So we'll talk about that. I heard from our pal Richard Reilly, who was in The Fugitive, and I'm going to explain what he told me about an iconic scene. It's really cool. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Milburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 550 49 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Millburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkul Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Millburn residents as Millburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Millburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Millburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide, and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections, despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Every time I think of you, I feel a shot right through a little ball of good. It's no problem of mine, but it's a problem I find. Living a life that I can't
Lisa from Middleton, she's in the 608, says, I have no idea what manscaping is. Please explain. How much detail could I go in here? Lisa, that is when you groom your privates, and that's the male version. It's called manscaping, not to be confused with mansplaining, which is kind of what I'm doing right now regarding manscaping. So we all do it, men, women. That's not necessarily fun either, but I felt like that was an obvious answer, you know, and it's more dangerous when you manscape yourself.
It is.
It can be treacherous. It's a tough area. I used to do a joke in my act where I'd say, you know, I'm sorry I was running late today, folks. I cut myself shaving. Never shave when you're in a hurry. It can be very dangerous. And it was in that really tough area to reach, right under the penis. So, yes, manscaping is a dangerous one. Lisa says also, for me, it's a tie. Colonoscopy and taking care of my liver. Very interesting. I never even thought of adding a medical procedure like a colonoscopy. Nobody likes to have that done. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I don't even like getting it physical, but you got to do it. Great text, Lisa. Thank you. Steve from Florida, he's in the 920. He says, I agree, Pete. I hate nose hair and ear hair. I don't understand why I'm losing hair on top and my nose and ear hair grow faster and longer the older I get. That is kind of a cruel joke. I got a bald spot. It's all showing up in my eardrums or my nose. There's probably a procedure. I know people can get like, you know, like a bikini wax or something. Like if you could do that for your nose, I would do that.
You could like put wax on like on a cotton and just shove it up there and pull it out, you know?
Is that true?
I don't know.
You're totally making that up. Let's do that tomorrow night.
All right,
we'll
sounds
do that
good.
On the air. It's good radio. keep those texts coming, folks. Our question tonight, what is your least favorite area or what aspect of bodily maintenance do you wish you didn't have to do? And you can throw in medical procedures too, like Lisa just did with the colonoscopy. Nobody likes to have those done. You got to do them. Really, all that stuff as you get older that you have to do. None of it's fun, but share your answers if you would. So, all right. So I tried to get this... my classic movie pick of the week for New Wisco Weekend that airs Saturday and Sunday, hosted by Lisa Hale, the tremendous Lisa Hale. I do a classic movie pick of the week every week, and now it's started to show up on the Civic Media website as well. I just pick an old movie and recommend it. This week's film is The Fugitive, and I thought, I want to have Richard Reilly on the show to talk about his role in The Fugitive. Richard's been on the show several times, and he plays one of the guards in the famous train scene, and I didn't realize this until I was in a hotel last weekend and The Fugitive was on. I was like, oh my God, that's Richard Reilly. He's one of the guards that gets overpowered before they filmed the big train scene where the train runs into the bus. So Richard had a medical procedure done. He had some dental work done. So he can't be on the show for a couple months, actually. It's a long recovery time. But he wrote me this great email. He said they were shooting The Fugitive for a couple weeks. They were all in a motel on a reservation that was shut down for winter. He said, we were shooting the iconic train film scene this is in the film. In order, they were rewriting the final two-thirds of the film, and we shot three major stunts and aftermath, including introducing Tommy Lee Jones' character and his team. We were shooting nights and trying to sleep during the day until the FBI decided to arrest David Koresh and rescue those in the Branch Davidian compound. So he says, a bunch of us were watching TV all day and heading to the set at night on a bus. He said it took two attempts to roll a bus down onto the tracks where the train would hit it and have it set on the tracks. The scene inside the bus as the train rolled up to us, the big stunt with 16 cameras running, the aftermath, he says he shot with Tommy Lee Jones, where Tommy Lee Jones turns to the guard, played by Richard, and says, would you like to change your BS story? Which is a great line, because Richard was using bravado and saying that he's kind of the one that was, the victim there. He says he was wrapped and they chased Dr. Kimball until he leapt from the water pipe. Remember that big scene, Conrad, when he jumps off? Have you ever seen the movie?
I've never seen it.
Oh my God, it's good. He said there was death on the set and then he was already on another film and they had to, I think he's saying they had to reshoot that. But 16 cameras, they had one shot. And most of you who have seen The Fugitive, they had one shot to get this stunt. It was a train that was going to crash into a bus. The train had to go exactly 35 miles an hour to get the shot right. They had engineers, architects, insurance people, stunt people, everybody there because they had one shot at it. Despite being so meticulous, director Andrew Davis still made a mistake and the train was going 42 miles an hour. 7 miles an hour faster than the train was supposed to go before it hit the bus. But luckily, movie magic happened, and they got their shot. And that is one of the most famous stunt scenes ever. It's such a great stunt. And Richard really was one of the guards in it. So we'll have Richard, when he heals up, I would love to have him on to tell the story about the email he sent me regarding that train scene in The Fugitive. Great stuff, and get well soon, Richard. A very good friend of ours here at Nightlight. What else was I going to... Drake from Green Bay says, he's in the 920. He says, nose waxing is a thing. It's all over YouTube. All right. I'm not going to YouTube. I'm not going to trust anyone on YouTube. He says, pro tip, wear your glasses while you search for those nose hair or you could miss them. See, this is the thing, Conrad. This is what you have to look forward to when you get older.
See, you can't remember. Kristen Lyerly said you can't trust those TikTok health trends, and that could go for nose trimming too.
I know. And like I said, my wife does it. Listen to this guy on TikTok. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. Who is that? I don't know. I have no idea. He's just a guy running his trap on TikTok. 715 says, you guys are cracking me up. Colonoscopy is the worst. I also despise shaving my legs. 25 years ago, I would have assumed that was a woman. I have no idea now. A lot of dudes shave their legs. Did you know that, Conrad?
I didn't. I have never shaved my legs.
I haven't either. I mean, I wax my chest. No, I don't.
Yeah, good for you.
Paula from the 920 says, I don't like needles, so I don't enjoy having blood drawn for labs. Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, I can't do it either.
They were rolling in. This is a great question. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. Great when you guys participate. 855-752-1589. When we come back, one of my favorite actors will be joining us here on Nightlight to talk about his role in the new season of 1923. Jamie McShane joins us after the news. And all kinds of fun will ensue. Rob Thomas is here at 720, Madison-based film critic, talking about the Oscars. It's a really fun night, and I'm glad you're here. This is Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing a new law enforcement agency in his budget to protect the state's judges and court staff. The proposal calls for a $1 million annual budget to expand the court's marshal office. It would include 8 law enforcement personnel tasked with investigating threats made against the judiciary, and the law enforcement personnel would be authorized to make arrests if warranted. Their intent is to ensure judges, court staff, and members of the public can navigate the judiciary process without fear. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin has joined another legal coalition of states, this time filing an amicus brief with the U.S. Supreme Court over Affordable Care Act protections. According to a press release, the coalition is asking the court to protect access to critical preventive care that millions of Americans receive through the ACA. A lower court previously found that the structure of the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force is unconstitutional, which could impact access to no-cost preventive care for low-income Americans. With warmer weather sweeping through the region, the city of Superior has announced the closure of its outdoor ice rinks and warming sheds. The rinks were officially closed for the season on Tuesday, with officials saying the conditions of the ice have deteriorated quickly thanks to the higher temperatures. The city also canceled game nights at the facilities, but expects to bring them back next winter. Now that the 7 rinks are closed, city officials are also asking residents who use the sites to provide some feedback in an online survey. One person was killed in a single-vehicle crash in Polk County on Tuesday morning. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred on County Highway I near Indian Point Lane in the town of Georgetown at around 9:45 a.m. Authorities say the truck was traveling south when it crossed the center line and left the roadway, hitting a driveway and flying into nearby trees. The driver was pronounced deceased at the scene when authorities arrived. Authorities believe speed and slick road conditions were factors in the crash. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is streaming news as Oscar-nominated films make their way to the small screen, with the Academy Awards right around the corner. A Complete Unknown is now available to stream. The Bob Dylan biopic is available on Amazon Prime, but it ain't cheap. The film could be rented for $24.99 or purchased for $29.99. So if you really want to see the film before the Oscar broadcast and have a kidney to spare, go ahead and sell it and check out this really good movie starring Timothy Chalamet, Ed Norton, and Monica Barbaro, all of whom are nominated for an acting Oscar. Wicked pulled in $727 million globally, which is the most ever by an adaptation from a Broadway show. The film is now also available to watch at home. It broke records on its first week of digital release, which began December 31st, and pulled in another $70 million. If you have Peacock, you can watch the film March 21st for a much more sensible price. Nickel Boys is also now available to stream for $20 on Fandango at home. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50. It's 46 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
It's my final day off, which means I recorded this a few days back. Will Todd Alba really be filling in for me on Thursday? Only he and his bail bondsman know for sure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a balmy, another balmy day. We are so lucky. It is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. My next guest is an unbelievably talented actor. You can catch his work on the show Wednesday on Netflix or the new season of 1923, which just dropped the other day. It's my pleasure to welcome actor Jamie McShane. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
God, I love that hat. I can't pull that look off.
You're not bald enough, kid.
Maybe that's it. I always thought it's the way my hair looked. Like, I'll try those on when I go into a store and, you know, someone will just look at me, whoever I'm with, one of my kids, and just shake their head. It's like, okay, thanks. You know, it looks good though, man. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. How you doing?
Doing great. Where are you right now? Are you sitting outside in your yard?
I am. It's a balmy, beautiful, like 85 degrees out here.
God.
Yeah, it got hot today.
What part of LA are you in these days?
Burbank.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah, I love it there. Right here.
Yeah, that's a great... well, good for you. I'm glad you can sit outside and enjoy the weather, and I have to wear...
I'm sorry you can't.
I'm sorry I have to wear long underwear into May. hey, so you're on Wednesday on Netflix. I have to ask you, when you're on a Netflix show, do they give you a discount on Netflix, which is, like, so expensive now?
No, they double charge me. no, I don't get any discounts. I get some nice gifts occasionally, but Netflix has been very good to me.
Yeah, no, they've gotten. You're out there, buddy. All right, so I think the last time we talked, you were in Ireland, and you said you were part of a show that you thought was maybe the best show you've ever been a part of, or one of the most inspiring things you've worked on. Can give us any more details yet?
So I was in Philadelphia for 6 months last year, and we were filming a new show for HBO. It'll be out in September, and it's called Task, like a task force.
Okay.
And Mark Ruffalo is the lead. It's got an amazing cast. Tom Pelfrey, Sam Keeley, Allison Oliver. There's another girl who's brilliant. I'll think of it.
Yeah.
It was just, the writing was so good. The acting was so good. Everyone was so nice. Have you ever seen Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
So Brad Inglesby, who created that show, and he wrote every episode of it, this is his next show.
Oh, I love that.
So he writes every episode. He's on set all the time, and he's probably one of the nicest humans I've ever met.
That is so great, and I loved Mayor of Easttown. I thought it just, like, it's one of those shows that you just kept watching, and it just kept getting better episode by episode. Yeah. There was something, and then you couldn't turn it off, and it was just so great. I want to tell you, and I mentioned this to you in our text exchange a few days ago, but I had the actor Glenn Morshower was on the show.
Yeah, I know Glenn.
Yeah, about a week ago, and I mentioned your name because you guys have the same credits in some cases, but you know how that works. You don't know if you're on the set the same day. I didn't know if your paths had crossed. And he said, yes. He goes, I know Jamie. And he said, and before I really knew him, he was in a film, I think it was Hostage. You played a character called Joe Mack. And he said, he is one of the best actors I've ever seen. And I'm basing that on one scene, Jamie. And it wasn't from that movie, Hostage.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet. It was... It was the opening of the film. It's a phone conversation between Bruce Willis and I. Bruce is a SWAT negotiator, and I'm holding my wife and kid hostage at gunpoint. And
bastard.
Thank you. And it was a big, big break for me. It was like, you know, 7 pages of script or whatever, you know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes scene. Unfortunately, you only see my face for like 5 seconds. I thought they were going to edit it back and forth between Bruce and I. And it was just always on Bruce and the SWAT team. And then for a little pop, you saw me. But Glenn got to be there for the filming of it. And that was very nice of him to say.
It was very nice of him to say. And I would relay your message, except he and I had a huge falling out right after he told me about that. So I'm never going to talk to him. No, it's funny you say that because I think I met you. We used to take our kids to the same park, and that's where we met and became friends. And I remember you telling me, I think you had just shot that, or it was like 2006 maybe when we met or something, and you had just done that scene, and you were talking about how cool it was.
I filmed it, Mara was pregnant with Luke. Luke's 20, so yeah, I guess it was around 2004 we filmed it, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
It probably came out around, yeah, something like that.
That's so great. All right. So speaking of all of your amazing credits, buddy, let's talk about 1923. I feel like I like half the Taylor Sheridan shows and the rest of them, I'm kind of like, eh. But 1883, 1923, I think are brilliant shows. I love them, especially 1923. And you have, you were in season one as well. I think you did three or four episodes, and now you have.
I think I was in two. For some reason, I'm credited for three. Maybe it was three, but yeah, it was towards the end of the first season.
Yeah, and you play Marshall Kent or Sheriff Kent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marshall, U.S. Marshall, yeah.
All right. So I watched part of the first episode that's just dropped a couple days ago from season two, and you just blow a guy away.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is Wisconsin Badgers women's basketball.
High post, Williams, fadeaway, 15-footer is through. Douglas down to one, Douglas flips it up to the free throw line, and it's good. On a driving shot there by Hallie Douglas.
Wisconsin women's basketball is brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show. Here's the voice of Wisconsin women's basketball, John Arias.
The Wisconsin Badgers host their final home game of the regular season tonight. Winners of back-to-back contests, and with a spot in the Big Ten tournament secured, Wisconsin hosts second-ranked and one-loss UCLA in the first-ever matchup between the two programs. It's time for the Badgers and Bruins. It's time for Badgers basketball. And coming up on tonight's pregame show, we'll get a scout of the Bruins with assistant coach Fro Gerald. A look inside the numbers and inside the Big Ten tournament and what could be for the Badgers. Come up in the Badger Notebook and a quick spinner on the Big Ten, too. But up next, we'll hear from Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. This is Badgers basketball from Learfield.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
At the Kohl Center, getting set to wrap up the home season as the Badgers host second-ranked UCLA, joined by Wisconsin head coach Marissa Mosley. Let's go back to the Northwestern game. What was the most satisfying part of that victory for you as a coach, beating the Wildcats?
You know, I think obviously we knew it was a must-win, and I think that our players really committed to making the plays that they had to make, especially in the second half. I thought we did an excellent job of sharing the ball, and that's two games in a row where you have plus 20 assists, and so to me as a coach, that's a beautiful thing to see our team sharing the ball. And then also, I think when our backs are against the wall and knowing that this was something that we had put as one of our goals to make sure that we were one of the members going to the Big Ten tournament, that we accomplished that goal. So it was another kind of step towards our overall goals.
Yeah, a lot of great stat lines from that game, including if you combine Carter McRae and Sarah Williams, that's about 50% of the points for your team in that game. So what does it mean when those two are kind of producing at that level?
Yeah, I mean, I think Carter had an awesome game, and I think it was her best yet here, and have a double-double, and for her to be able to compliment Sarah and vice versa, I think it just puts even more pressure on teams, and then when they're doing that, they've got to pick their poison. So if they and Tess and Lily start hitting threes in the second half, as we've said all year, that combination is really difficult to guard.
And finally for you, it's UCLA, number two Bruins. They've lost once this season. What's the biggest area of focus, if you can narrow it down to one thing, when you're facing the Bruins?
Well, I mean, everything goes through, bets, and so you've got to make sure that, you don't forget about everyone else, but make it difficult for her to score and, try to play as foul-free as possible. And then on the other end, we've got to attack them. We have to make sure that they have to guard as well. But an excellent team. Corey Close has done a great job. But, this is an opportunity for us to both kind of lace up and put our best foot forward.
Best of luck.
All right, thank you.
That's head coach Marissa Mosley. Keep it right here. We'll get a scout of UCLA coming up next. This is Badgers Basketball from Learfield.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, "I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
As a student in high school, every day starts to feel the same. If I'm not taking notes in history class, then I'm writing an essay in English. Each day falls into the same routine, but when I go to my career and technical education classes, nothing there is routine at all. There is something new each and every day, whether it's something new we're learning or an exciting project my teacher assigns. The nice thing about technical education is that it's all hands-on learning, which is different from most classes. It doesn't even feel like I'm going to school with how fun and creative the teachers can be. Our classrooms range from a broadcasting studio for radio TV communication students to a medical training room for the health science program. My teachers aren't just assigning busy work, but lifelong information that I can use after high school. My teachers teach with a purpose, to show the knowledge and experience needed for a certain career. Career in technical education isn't just teaching, it's guiding. It's mentoring young students who want to learn firsthand from their mentor and role model. Go to acteonline.org and search for Teach CTE. Be part of the investment. Teach CTE.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Kohl Center, Wisconsin. It hosts number two UCLA, joined by Badgers assistant coach Progero. The Bruins have lost one time this season. What's the biggest reason why they've only been handed one loss this year?
Number 51, Betts. They're 6'7" senior. She's very talented and a huge force on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Lauren Betts, because when you look at the stat line for her, she's second in the conference in scoring just about 20 points per game, third in rebounding just under 10. She leads the conference in block shots. She does pretty much everything defensively and offensively.
Yeah, you know, again, she just kind of is a presence on the floor, you know, on both ends. We've had to, in the game plan, you know, consider her, you know, both offensively and defensively.
You know, when you look at, speaking of defense, when you look at UCLA, they're number one in the conference, allow the fewest points of any team, and their field goal percentage defense is also number one. So how do you attack a defense that has been that solid so far this season?
Yeah, good ball movement, good people movement. You got to keep the ball moving. The ball can't stick. And you got to do the little things. You got to pay attention to details, like setting and using screens, coming off those screens with pace, and, you know, playing free and taking shots that we practice and making those shots.
All right. Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
All right. That's assistant coach Progero. The Badgers and the Bruins go at it tonight. Keep it right here. When we come back and look at inside the Badger numbers with the Badger Notebook, that is next. And this is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And welcome back courtside at the Kohl Center. John Audius with you as the Badgers play in their final home game of the season against second-ranked UCLA. Wisconsin trying for its third straight victory after wins over Penn State and Northwestern. And this will be the first matchup ever between Wisconsin and UCLA. So how do the Badgers look against top five teams all time? Well, against number two teams all time, Wisconsin is 0-5 in program history. In fact, the Badgers' highest-ranked victory ever came in November of 1997 when the Badgers defeated then number four Stanford. But Wisconsin comes in to tonight's game 13-14 overall and 4-12 in the Big Ten. With those four wins, Wisconsin has secured a spot in the Big Ten tournament. They'll either be the 14th seed if Purdue loses its game against Penn State. If the Boilermakers beat Penn State, the Badgers will be the number 15 seed in the conference tournament, which kicks off next Wednesday in Indianapolis. Keep it right here. A quick spin around the Big Ten coming up next. It's the Badgers and the Bruins tonight, and this is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Wisconsin fans, it's Matza Matt for Brewpub Lots of Matza Pizza. Badger games are intense, high energy, and an experience like no other. Games like that need a high quality, go all four quarters frozen pizza, and you'll find that in a Brewpub Lots of Matza Pizza. Loaded with the best meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, it's a top-tier pizza proud to support a top-tier program. So the next time you're visiting your favorite local grocery store and you're in the frozen pizza section, look for the pizza loaded with cheese, a Brewpub Lots of Matza Pizza.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
What does it mean to be locally owned and operated? For Cenex, it means everything. It means that we know if you take your coffee to go or if you like to stay a while. It means we've helped Little Leagues get jerseys and local festivals get funding. It means we know what our communities need. So you'll always leave Cenex with a full tank, full of snacks, or full of smiles. Or all of the above. And that means the world to us. Cenex, powered locally.
This season, Abbott and the Big Ten teamed up to host the first ever conference-wide blood donation competition to help fight the greatest blood shortage in the generation. The We Give Blood Drive helps save as many as 60,000 lives thanks to alumni, students, and Badger fans like you. But the need for blood donations doesn't stop here. Go to BigTen.org/Abbott to sign up to give blood and save lives. Abbott, proud partner of the Big Ten Conference and Wisconsin Athletics.
And welcome back courtside at the Kohl Center. John Audius with you as Wisconsin hosts second-ranked UCLA tonight at the Kohl Center. It's one of four games in the Big Ten Conference. One top 25 showdown as 23rd-ranked Michigan State is on the road at number 12 Ohio State. Iowa takes on Michigan. The Badgers and Hawkeyes will meet on Sunday to wrap up the Big Ten season. Meanwhile, Washington is at Minnesota. Now that game, as well as the Iowa game, will help determine potentially the Badgers' next opponent in the Big Ten tournament. Right now, Wisconsin's the number 14 seed in the tournament. They could fall to 15 if Purdue beats Penn State, but some potential opponents include Washington, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and Indiana. Those teams all jumbled up within a game of each other, so we'll have to wait to see how those standings shake out, so we'll keep an eye on those scores as the evening rolls on. Getting ready for the Badgers and the Bruins. Coming up next, starting lineups and the opening tip-off. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. and you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to Madison, Wisconsin. John Audius with you. Wisconsin hosting the second-ranked UCLA Bruins. Before we take a look at the starting lineups for each team, let's pause 10 seconds for a station ID, 10 for a legal ID. This is Wisconsin Women's Basketball.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin and UCLA meeting for the first time ever in program history for these two schools. Let's take a look at the lineups. First, for the 27-1 and 15-1 record in the Big Ten, UCLA Bruins under head coach Corey Close in her 14th.